If you ache for truth, goodness, and beauty, if you're hungry for a Christianity with substance and strength, if you long for a faith that's big and bold and biblical and all about Jesus Christ, if you're inspired by the idea of one church that has spanned 20 centuries, 24 time zones, and two hemispheres, enfolding every race, nation, and language, then you're considering Catholicism. Well, welcome back to the Considering Catholicism podcast. My name is Greg. I'm your host, and I am back once again, as I was last time. Actually, it's the same time. It's just a few minutes later, right, with
Ed the Protestant.
Ed the Protestant, who is wearing a extremely sharp sweater.
I'm still wearing the same sweater. But wait a second. I'm going to turn the collar down here a second.
Oh, no. I thought the popped collar looked sharp.
You like it better the other way?
I think, you know, the popped collar. Okay. It brings me back to the 80s with the popped collar. And I feel like
we're having coffee at Panera and discussing fashion.
Show me your elbows. Oh, I thought you had patches on the elbows. All right. But I thought that this sweater had patches on its elbows.
I'd have to have a briar pipe then, and I'm not going to do that.
So. No. But it is a very, very sharp sweater, and it and it complements your complexion. And your pants look... Let me see your shoes. Oh, very nice. They're kind of like, you know, kind of dark gray, kind of like surfer shoes.
Yeah, and Old Navy, where all the kids buy theirs.
You look very sharp today.
Put together. That's what it is.
You look very put together.
Another phrase I like is on point.
Very on point. You've really put a nice outfit together today. And I think it means a lot that you came to our recording session and you kind of brought it a little bit.
I've never been complimented quite like this in my whole life.
I am resolved to be a better man and not to just bust on my friend Ed and point out, you know.
Well, you're killing it. You're doing a great job, Greg.
Thank you,
Ed. Keep it up.
All right. Now, let's get back to Kate.
Yes.
Because in our last episode, we talked about a young woman that we're calling Kate. She's 19 years old and she lives out west somewhere. And she has been investigating Catholicism, really doing her research, talking to people. She's listened to this podcast and looked at other sources, and really it's dispelled a lot of the myths that she had about Catholicism, a lot of the things that she, you know, misunderstandings, misinterpretations. I mean, she's really has clarity about it. And she's been to adoration. She's been to mass. She really kind of wants to enter the Catholic Church, but she's facing some real opposition because I've been corresponding with her and she wrote back, and I just kind of want to share some of the things that she was talking about. She says, I can't begin to explain the pushback that I've received from my friends and family as I have started and embraced this journey towards Catholicism. I'm currently being called disobedient and deceitful, among other things,
really?
Simply for asking questions about the sort of Baptist church that she goes to. These group of friends, the sort of church group or whatever it is of young adults, they had a meeting to quote-unquote excommunicate the Catholic guy who was a part of the group. And the elders of her church said, yep, don't let any Catholic guys be a part of your... Catholics be a part of your young adult group. And this guy had been teaching her about the Catholic Church or whatever. And so now the elders of the church are involved. Her family is involved. You know, and she says, this behavior is so off-putting. How can those who claim to represent Christ be acting this way? I've even been told by the elders of the church that their response to my questioning, asking these theological questions and church history questions and things about Baptist Church, they've told her that this is God's judgment on her for asking these questions. And she says, I feel like I'm being pulled in two directions right now. How can I continue to pursue Catholicism and be seen as dishonoring to my parents, which is a direct sin against God? So I either conform to the Baptist echo chamber that I've been in to appease everybody, or I convert. And then she says, I cannot rationally find anything wrong with the Catholic Church. I feel like every issue or controversy about it, I've found the solution, right? Like I've researched it and made sense. And I see centuries of evidence to back it up. So she's been listening and reading about all of the history of the church. And just like we talked about in the last episode, how the continuity of Catholicism back to the early church. I mean, she buys all of that. She says, for lack of a better word, I've been forbidden to see my Catholic friends or attend any more Catholic church services. And I'm at a loss to know how to proceed.
That is harsh. That's really harsh. You know, the thing about not honoring her parents is kind of a below the belt punch, because first they made up a rule that stepping outside of their, I'm pretty sure, tiny circle is being disobedient. That's the definition of being disobedient. Furthermore, she's 19. She's not 13. She's 19. And stepping outside of that is then they've defined disobedience. And now they're saying, well, of course, it's not good to be disobedient. When I stepped outside of the circle a couple of years ago and started looking at it from the outside in, I thought, oh my gosh, I was all swept up in it, but it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, you know, you and I are both the parents of adult children, right? You have four daughters.
Five daughters.
That's right. I always forget. Five. I always forget the fifth daughter.
Yeah.
Five daughters, all above the age of 19.
Yeah, way above.
I didn't say that, Ed, but they're vibrant young women
right.
who are above the age of 19. Yes. And they're lovely, and you raise them, and they're great. But you've been through this raising kids, and I have some kids of my own, a couple of kids of my own, who are now adults. So we as parents have raised our kids and hoped that they would turn out a certain way. But, you know, to your point, you raise your kids and you want them to follow the faith they were raised in. And when you were saying a little bit ago that the small circle, what I would argue is that in their world, their circle doesn't feel small. If you're in the Baptist church or if you're in Reformed churches or whatever, Protestant, that feels like the big world. And the Catholic Church is ironic because, of course, the church of history, the church of the globe, the 20 centuries, 24 time zones, all this kind of stuff, that is some weird little corner of Christendom. Whereas if you're a Southern Baptist or, you know, Reformed, you know, whatever, Christian Reformed, or you're, you know, some evangelical, like that feels like the center of the world. And Catholicism feels like this weird cult thing off to the side.
I had a real epiphany. This is 30 years ago. I was going to a charismatic church where we were well on our way to being 12 people in a living room, only ones who knew the truth, you know, ever. And I took a trip to out of state. We went to upstate New York, and I had never been there. And I realized as we were driving around that none of them had ever heard of our church. In retrospect, this is about as dumb and naive as a man can get. But I thought, you know, none of these people have ever heard of my church. My little church with 700 people in it. Nobody knows who we are. And somehow God is going to, all these people here and all these houses that we're driving by, right? They're all going to have to find their way to God somehow. They're going to have to muddle through. God's going to have to drag them through somehow, because they can't all be connected to our church. And as soon as I thought it, I thought, oh, dear Lord, right. You know?
Look, I understand, and Ed and I understand as parents, the stress and the grief that can come into those relationships. You know, you want the best for your kids. And if you grew up in a certain tradition, both you and I raised our kids in a Protestant world, evangelical world, because I didn't convert to Catholicism until my kids were off to college and whatnot. And so, in fact, it was kind of weird because my daughter was off at college and her parents became Catholic. She was off at a Protestant Christian college.
That's what she gets relieved.
She was at a Calvinist college. And then halfway through her Calvinist college experience, her parents turned into weirdo Catholics. And then for her senior project, I took her to Rome. And, you know, and then she came back. But anyway, so I mean, I get it that as my kids were growing up, I wanted them to inherit and stay within the faith that we raised them in. I totally get that. But, you know, as I look at Kate's situation, there's a number of things that come to mind, and it's hard to sort out family stuff, but let's at least just stay at this level. Without trying to get another sort of dig in at Protestantism, I am going to say that especially evangelical Protestantism is premised on a theology of simple solutions. So if you just believe and say the sinner's prayer, or if you just turn to scripture, or you just trust the Holy Spirit, then everything's going to work out okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what's the answer to every problem? Did you read your Bible? You should read your Bible more. Just pray to the Holy Spirit and things are going to work out in your favor. And you don't need a bunch of Catholic mumbo jumbo. All you need to do is turn to Jesus and your problems will work out. Now, I think if you grew up in that world, you are sort of conditioned to think that there are easy ways through.
And that it's a sign that you're following God properly.
Yeah. And if you're running into resistance or difficult stuff in life or it gets hard, it's easy to think, man, am I doing something wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but if you look at the heroes of the Bible, like all the great Bible characters, much less the lives of the saints for the last 2,000 years, what you find is that following God's will, it can be complicated, bewildering, sometimes painful.
Yeah.
I mean, show me the person in the Bible who had an easy path
following
God's will. A lot of them faced misunderstanding and mistrust and opposition, even from their friends and family. In fact, Jesus's relatives, other than Mary or whatever, they came to him, what's wrong with Jesus, right? All his cousins and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the people in his own village of Nazareth were trying to throw him off a cliff when he came back and declared himself to be the Messiah. And Jesus said, hey, look, I've come often to divide families and divide relationships. Not that that's his purpose, but that following the truth is going to sometimes lead to these kinds of hard relational conflicts,
right?
You know, in your life. You know, one of the things that I've been meaning to do an episode about at some point, and we will, but not today, is this Catholic concept of redemptive suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, redemptive suffering, like I'm not going to say that Protestants don't have an understanding that God comforts us in our suffering. So you think about that great hymn, Protestant hymn, It Is Well With My Soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story about the guy and he loses his family on the shipwreck and all that kind of stuff, and he is well with my... But see, the Protestant thing there is that God will comfort us in our suffering, or the poster of the footprints on the beach,
You
know. Well, there's wherever there was one set of footprints, Jesus carried me. See, the Protestant idea is that Jesus rescues you or carries you through suffering. Catholicism has always had an understanding that our suffering itself can be redemptive.
Mm-hmm.
That in a sense, if we lean into it and we embrace it, because when we embrace the suffering that God sends, we in a sense join with Jesus who suffered in his passion.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a sort of closer relationship. We come to know him. We experience what he experienced in his suffering. And then we feel him alongside us in ours. If we can kind of become like him in our struggles, then we can become like him in peace
mm-hmm.
and in victory. So St. Paul says in Philippians 3, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And so all that to say, your road to Rome may involve conflict and suffering and difficulty, but that doesn't mean that God has abandoned you on it.
And you may lose things that you just don't get back. It's not, you know, it's not, well, you know, later on I'll make this better, and later on I'll, you know.
You never know how that works out.
Yeah.
So for example, when I entered the Catholic Church, I left behind, well, the church I was working at the time, and you were a part of that church.
Yep.
And I left behind the church and my friends and my career and a lot of things, only about 5, 6, 7 years later to have Ed text me one time and say, I have questions about the Catholic Church.
Right.
And it's interesting to me now how many of those relationships and things are coming back and it's okay. But at the time it was hard. You know, I met with an old friend the other day who I hadn't seen in many years, and old Protestant minister friend. And it was kind of a little bit of a reconciliation where this friend was kind of like, I accept where you've gone and it's okay. And I felt good about that. So, you know, you never know. But at the time that you're living through it, it's pretty tough. And so when you're on this road to Rome, converting to Catholicism, it can be one of the things that really becomes a speed bump. Corey and I did some episodes not too long back called Speed Bumps on the Road to Rome. We talked about some of the problems, and one of them could just be the relationships in your life. So all that being said, I thought about it a little bit, and you know, I think there are four things I'd say to Kate and to anyone in this situation. If you're listening and you're thinking about converting to Catholicism, and you're thinking about all the people who are going to misunderstand and judge you, and your Protestant friends are going to think that what you're doing is a terrible thing or whatever, here's kind of four pieces of advice, and you jump in, Ed, anywhere along the way. But the first is this: let your motives and your actions be pure and above reproach, right? I mean, give them nothing to criticize about you. It's, you know, a lot of times we can get defensive and we can get angry, or we can want to drive our points home in a certain way. A lot of times when, you know, you feel like you're going to convert to something or you're going through this big change, you sort of get really into it, and maybe you get overly passionate, you start driving home, and then because you're defensive and you're angry, then you start saying, well, you know, this is about Catholicism, and this is dumb Protestants this, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And you can say kind of flippant things like Ed and I say on the podcast, and you know, that doesn't help. It doesn't help the people to understand you.
Well, even when Jesus was being tried by Pilate and crucified, he was not talking back. He wasn't saying, well, look at you guys. He wasn't doing that. He was just taking it.
What I think that people would want to see in you is they would want to see Jesus in you through this process. Right. I mean, you've got to check your heart and cultivate nothing but love for the people around you. You've got to pray for the people who are criticizing you. Let every thought in your mind and every word that comes out of your mouth, every aspect of your demeanor, how you present yourself, everything be full of Christ and his love. And they may criticize, they may even slander Catholicism and the church. They will. Some people will never get it. You know, Catholics are pagans and Mary and this and the Pope and, you know, yada, 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 and Dan Brown novels and, you know, the Crusades and the whole nine yards, right? But if you're full of Christ, they will either see that in you or they'll be in the awkward position of criticizing him, right? Right.
I've definitely been exposed to that. I've some serious Catholic bashing directed at me in an attempt to, you know, get me back on the right path.
Yeah, but I hope that what they saw in you wasn't like I'm now an ideologue or a cult member. What they saw in you is I'm really somebody who's trying to experience the fullness of God in my life.
Right.
I want to find Christ. I want to find the fullness of the church. I want to find the fullness of the kingdom. And that's why I'm doing this. And I pray for you who's criticizing me. And I've never said anything defensive or angry.
Right.
So I just think the first thing when you're going through this is you've got to be, let your motive and actions kind of be above reproach. And I think the second one is this, though, I guess to counterbalance that is don't compromise on the truth. You know, we've talked about this Chesterton quote, you know, in his essay, he wrote Why I Am a Catholic after he converted. And, you know, we had a couple of episodes way back, 100 episodes ago with Corey, where we talked about this G.K. Chesterton essay, Why I Am a Catholic. And he says, you know, someone had asked me why I became Catholic, I could give them 10,000 reasons, but they all boil down to the same thing, because it's true.
Yeah.
I found 10,000 reasons why it's true, but it's true. And I think that was that way for me when I was on my road to Rome. There were 1,000 reasons to turn back and not do this. You know, my life, it was friends, it was family, it was my job, it was my pension from the other denomination, it was this, it was that, it was everything.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I was convinced that Catholicism was true. So what choice did that give me?
Right.
To continue to work for something that I didn't think was true? Or did I have to pursue the truth? So I guess what I'm trying to say is you got to keep pursuing the truth. But you want to do that in such a way that your motives and your actions are pure.
Yep, I agree.
And then I think the third thing would be, as you explain to people why you're doing this, make all of your conversations about Catholicism about Christ and his word.
Oh, yeah, good.
See, because here's the thing that Protestants, you know, your Baptists or your whatever are going to say. They think you're turning away from Jesus to papist and pagan nonsense about Mary and flying saints and all this other, right?
Right.
That's what they think. Wait a minute. Our church is all about Jesus. right? You believe in Jesus, you follow Jesus, you sing songs about Jesus, you have Jesus' word, the Bible, full of stories about Jesus. Everything about us is about Jesus. So Catholicism, you're turning away from Jesus. Why don't you want to be like Jesus? Why now you got the Pope and you got Mary and you got so-and-so who flies and you got all this crazy stuff, all this pagan candles, and they'll bring up every weird Catholic practice they can. And because they don't understand Catholicism, they see it as an ism. And you don't want to give them ammo to use against you. Because the truth is that the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, as the Nicene Creed puts it, is all about Jesus Christ. That's all it's about. It's the church that Christ founded. It's his body. It's built on the word of God in the fullest sense. There's Jesus, the divine logos in John 1. There's the word made flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. There's the word incarnate in the Eucharist. There's the word given to proclaim and teach, given to the apostles. There's the written word of the New Testament that was assembled and verified by the ancient church.
Yep.
In the Mass, we encounter and celebrate the word in all of these aspects, right? We listen to the word, we experience the word in the Eucharist. I just took you down the hall here before we started recording because we've just relocated the tabernacle in our church to a new location, and Ed didn't know what a tabernacle was. And so I explained, maybe we'll have to do an episode about what the tabernacle is.
Great.
But that is where the presence of the Lord and the Eucharist is and kept. And so we went down and saw it. You know, it's all about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what you want to make sure that people understand is that the reason that you're interested in Catholicism is you want to experience Christ more fully. And you want to experience his word more fully. And I've said on this podcast over and over, I don't think that a lot of the Protestantism that I came out of is wrong so much as it's incomplete. You're only seeing 30-40% of what there is. Protestantism largely has taken aspects of Christianity and focused on aspects of it without appreciating the fullness of it.
Mm-hmm.
As known in, you know, throughout the ages. And so what I think Kate or anybody else in this situation wants to do is to say, the reason I'm interested in Catholicism is I want to know God more completely. I want to know Christ more completely. I want to know his word more completely. And I find that there.
Yeah, that's good.
And then I think the final thing that I would say to anybody in this situation is just pray. Pray, 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 pray. The Lord is with you. He's walking beside you through it. Pray as you've never prayed and don't stop. And pray not only for yourself, but pray for those people who are criticizing you or misunderstanding you, because that's what Jesus would want you to do. And I think that if you do those things, there's no guarantee that your friends and family or colleagues or whatever are going to respond the way you want them to on your timetable. But I do know that if you do those kinds of things, then you'll be facing these trials that you're going through in the same way that the heroes of the faith did, and same way that the saints did, because they prayed their way through them. They trusted Christ, right? They followed the truth. They were above reproach. And you'll face those trials with Christ alongside you, and you'll bring honor and glory to his name because you're doing the right thing for the right reasons in the right way. And so I don't know that there's an easy thing. I know, Ed, you know, you're on your road to Rome and you've got, you know, hills still to climb along this road and bridges to cross and all those kinds of things. But as you go along, you've had some opposition.
Yeah, it's calmed down now a little bit. I think it takes people in your life a while, you know. It takes it certainly in yours and in mine. In fact, the episode we talked about, my three friends from high school sitting around and talking, one of them, Doug, is now really interested. You know, he was quiet during that table conversation and didn't say much, but I could see the wheel. I know him. I could see the wheels turning. And now he's the one writing in with questions. And I think, you know.
Did you ever hear back from Doug the Protestant since we did the episode for him a few weeks ago?
No, only that he listened and liked it. but nothing else.
All right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, look, it is what it is. So I would say to Kate or anybody else out there, this isn't easy, but at the end of the day, you've got to find the truth and you've got to go higher up and deeper into God's kingdom.
Yeah.
And now another thing that people have been writing in about, and we'll have to take this up in another episode, is I've got a number of listeners who've said, all right, I'm interested in Catholicism, pursuing that. But another thing that they're asking about is Eastern Orthodoxy.
Yeah.
So that's going to open up a can of worms for another episode next week when we talk about, if I want to pursue the Church of History, what about pursuing Eastern Orthodox churches? So I promised a couple of listeners that we get around to addressing that. But in any case, Kate, we're praying for you and anybody else out there who is considering Catholicism and maybe facing misunderstanding or mistrust or opposition from friends or family or colleagues. Look, I just want to say to you, you're not joining a cult. We're not cult leaders, and I'm not trying to sell you anything.
Right.
That's never been what we've tried to do, and neither what the church tries to do. In fact, it can look that way if you're in a Protestant circle that feels like it's the whole world, you know?
Yep.
And then Catholicism is just some weirdo, freaky cult thing. But it isn't. It's about stepping into the bigger world and the world of history and the world of scripture and embracing that. But I guess my final word on this is about timing. And I know that I've shared in my story, my wife and I were ready to enter the Catholic Church probably 3 or 4 years before we actually did. Yeah. You know, we amongst ourselves, we were like, yeah, we're ready to do this. And there were a number of things in our lives at that moment. It was like, this isn't the year for it. And then it was like, next year, this isn't the year for it. And finally, after about 3 years of that, God said, this is the year to make this change. And so I would say that to Kate or to Ed or to anybody else out there, be patient. If you're walking down this road and Christ is walking with you, he's going to take you at the pace that you need to go, and give it time and believe that the Lord is going to bring you, you know, home in the amount of time that it takes to get there.
Yeah, that is good advice. You know, I'm not trying to convince anybody to just join the coolest or the bestest or the smartest or the most logical thing. If you're just looking for that kind of thing, there's a church on every corner.
Yeah.
Right. That's easy.
Yeah.
I felt like I was for a while. I felt for a number of years in the Protestant world, I felt like I was church shopping. Mm. I hated that the whole time. And yet I felt myself. And now I think, you know, I'm looking for the truth. And if I find it, that's where I'm going to go. And it's not going to be because Catholicism is just, it's just a better way. It's just a smarter way to approach God. I feel like, I'm looking for the right thing.
Yeah. I was corresponding with another listener the other day, another young man, actually a teenager, who was writing in and saying his parents are not religious particularly. And so he's been investigating Catholicism, thinking that's the way he wants to go, listen to the podcast and other things. And so he finally got a car. And so now he can choose to go to church on Sunday.
Right.
And go to Mass. And then so he was asking me some questions about, well, what kind of Catholic church? I mean, there's only one Catholic church, but I mean, should I go to one that's, you know, super traditional or one that's a little more contemporary?
Right.
You know? And so he was kind of looking for advice about which parish should he go to. And I said, for myself, when I decided to go in, I felt I had to go all in. And I felt that part of Catholicism is the concept of your neighborhood parish. And right. I had spent so much time in the evangelical megachurch world where it was all about consumers and church shopping. Right. So I'm going to drive 45 minutes to the hot new church that has the kind of music that I want, that has the kind of pastor that I want. And then if I don't like that, I'll drive over here. And really, I treat it like a consumer going, I'm going to shop for the one. And they're all competing for me.
You know,
come to this one. And I felt there's a Catholic parish 5 minutes from my house. And I felt, well, if I'm going to be Catholic, I'm just going to go all in and go to the church 5 minutes from my house. And that was about letting go of that sense of it being about me. and just embracing the faith of the ages. So, hey, if you have a question or a story or a comment, I would love to hear it. Write me at consideringcatholicism@gmail.com, or you can post a message on the website, consideringcatholicism.com. You can also support the ministry there. This is a ministry, and we need your support to keep it going with a one-time or recurring donation. There's a link on the website and in the show notes. And would you please rate and review the podcast? You can leave a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever platform. That really helps us. And if you have access to Apple Podcasts to write a review there, that's also very helpful on our website. So thank you for your time. We'll be back again soon with another episode. And Ed, again, you're looking very sharp.
Thanks. I'll keep that in mind from now on.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.